Hi, Trey. Randy from Lexington, Kentucky. It seems as though most of professing Christianity these days are proceeding to give the finished work of the cross a spiritual slap in the face. God's word couldn't be more clear that if this world was forgiven at the cross, the sin issue was taken off the table. The establishment, the religious system, even some people would claim to have all the knowledge in the world of God's word, seem to be able to look at some of God's word and act like it's not there or deny what it means. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 through 21 could not be more clear. That section of the Bible begins with the cross, ends with the cross. It couldn't be more clear that in those passages, God is telling us that He is not imputing our sins today. Hell is full of unbelievers, not underperformers and underachievers. When will we get that? It's a real shame.
Very true, Randy. Very true. A great big hello to you and Frank there in Lexington, passing out Truth Time material around the city, and we appreciate that. It's wonderful being able to speak with other ministers of reconciliation. Reconciliation is probably the most overlooked subject in Scripture. The most overlooked, even though it's the very one committed to us. Think about that. The very ministry we were given as ambassadors is the least spoken of by many who claim to believe Paul is their apostle. What a shame. Our understanding of reconciliation is what allows us to truly rest in what Jesus accomplished and teach others to do the same. Okay, glad you're here with us today. We've been addressing the forgiveness at the cross objectors. A pastor claims that Romans 4:8 and 2 Corinthians 5:19 is about believers. Believers only. So let's look into that. But before we do, while we're hearing listener voicemails, let me grab one more. If I can locate it, there's another one that I want to pull up here because it goes along with today's objection. It came in earlier. Here we are. Give a listen real quick.
Hey, Trey, I'm not trying to be a pest. I'm listening to your podcast right now. Paul never taught limited forgiveness. And I just want you to know I got saved today. Yankee Arnold, Tom Cucuzza, Freddie Cole, Robert Breaker all said that you'll die and have to pay for your sins. They don't get it. They don't get that everybody's forgiven. They don't get it at all. My sister doesn't get it. My father doesn't get it. Only my mother and my boyfriend get it. And today I got it. Thank you so much. God, I would have went to hell if I died yesterday. So I'm like all upset. God, they're all teaching it wrong. At least everybody I've listened to is teaching it wrong. So thank you so much for the podcast and for being there. God bless you. Bye-bye.
That's actually a callback from a listener that I spoke with months ago who suffers from a type of OCD they call religious scrupulosity. Just a long name given by some medical professional, I suppose, but the bottom line is there are those who constantly feel anxiety about whether or not they've been forgiven. That's a real problem. As she described it the first time we spoke, it's basically where someone is in constant fear of not being good enough to please God, thinking that almost everything they do is a sin, and never sure if they're really forgiven or not. They tend to place their performance under a microscope as they seek to find favor with God, and they have all sorts of daily rituals. Rituals they do to try to get their sins forgiven. That's what getting this wrong can do for you. Daily rituals, trying to do something to get their sins forgiven when they were forgiven before they were born. But they don't know that because of the religious system under the influence of the God of this world lied to them. Their anxiety from sin would not even exist if reconciliation was taught correctly. Or taught at all, for that matter. To some, reconciliation has become a byword, even though it should be the very center of their teaching. Many obviously don't believe 2 Corinthians 5:19, where Paul tells us that God, quote, committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Committed. Sounds like reconciliations are commission. Those of us who understand the uniqueness of Paul, the in-me-first grace apostle, hey, we got to take up their slack and lead the way in this thing. The world needs this message. All right, we received a video of a pastor who, during a Wednesday night question and answer series, he addressed a question concerning forgiveness. He made the claim that Romans 4:8 and 2 Corinthians 5:19 is about believers only. He quoted Romans 4:8, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Then read 2 Corinthians 5:19, "God's not imputing trespasses to the world," and he immediately said, "So when a believer believes the gospel, God stops imputing their sins." You caught that, right? He's either not paying attention or deliberately performing the old sleight of hand. You decide. Right before his audience's very eyes, he changed the 2 Corinthians 5:19 world to believer. You can't do that. But that allows him to make the claim that the Romans 4:8 blessed man, to whom the Lord is not imputing sin, is only true for the believer. See, the psalmist David and the apostle Paul, they agree. This pastor, however, is the only one here talking about the believer. Open your eyes, folks. This is a prime example of how a preacher can preach the cross while making it of none effect. There's a lot of that going on today. I'm unashamedly and unapologetically here to tell you that peace was made on behalf of the world. Because of Christ shed blood, and that alone, not because of anyone's belief in that. Belief can get you saved, but peace was made through the blood of Jesus on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:19 is precisely why God is not presently judging anyone. He's not pouring out His wrath today. He's not pouring out wrath because He stopped imputing sins. This is our present-day good news. We have sufficient cumulative evidence to prove this. Allow me, with Scripture, to demonstrate this important point here. This is how things used to work. During the time past administration, watch this. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 10. "And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass." Now that's plain. Watch again, Numbers 32:13. "And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and He made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generations that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed." Are you seeing this? This is what was happening when sins were being imputed. Time passed. Is this happening today? Then sins aren't being imputed. It's simple math. This alone, I mean, if you didn't have anything else, this alone supports the position we take on 2 Corinthians 5:19. If this was our only evidence, we'd be correct to believe that our dispensational good news is that God is no longer imputing sins, not imputing sins to the world. That's what the verse says. I dare you to change it to believer. In Scripture, when sins were being imputed, there was punishment from God. Think about that. If God's not punishing people today for their sins, then sins aren't being imputed. God cannot not punish sins if they are being imputed. And they must be imputed if they are not forgiven. Thank God for the blood. It did its sufficient work. Here's another one. Psalm chapter 6, verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. You think there was a time when supernatural whippings were taking place? When the Lord was angrily rebuking people in his hot displeasure? Try Ananias and Sapphira on for size. But not true for today. No one's dropping dead today for tempting the Holy Spirit. Because God's not imputing sins to anyone in the world, just like the verse says. The Lord is not rebuking, chastising, or consuming anyone. If he were displaying his fierce anger like that today, oh, we would all know it. We have satellites and cameras everywhere. If a husband and wife, if they drop dead because they agreed to lie about how much they sold their land for, we'd all know it. No matter what channel you flip to, they'd be covering it. It would be breaking news, but it isn't. Because as Truth Time has been telling you, today, in our current economic administration, God's not charging sins. Jesus took the world's sins into the tomb. This was prior to you being born, so you hadn't believed yet. He left your sins there in that tomb, and it was there that the way was paved and made ready for anyone to be saved. And there's faith involved for that. In this dispensation of the grace of God, God's not charging sins, and we will not waver in making this truth known. In doing so, we continue to hear from those who are being freed from their former way of thinking, that old religious mindset that had them in bondage. Like a quote I once heard, "Truth is like the sun. You can shut it out for a time, but it ain't going away." Like the very sun in the sky, the Ministry of Reconciliation, it'll continue to expose the religious lies until that Titus 2:13, until that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. To say God's not imputing sins to the believer when it clearly says the world, well, that's just a straight out lie. It's hard to believe, but some will go that far. To stick to their guns. Those trapped in their pharisaical mindset cannot acknowledge or digest this reconciliation truth. They just can't do it. But they can go on YouTube, TikTok, and Facebook and tell lies. It's pretty sad. The blood took care of the world's sins and God stopped imputing them. That's why someone can commit the most egregious sin today, and God will not respond by doing anything to them. We're under the dispensation of grace, in a time of peace with God, and His wrath is not functioning as it did in time past, when imputed sin would bring about His swift judgment. So there's no gotcha game, as some seem to enjoy playing. The answer to the forgiven at the cross debate is simple. Believe your Bible. Believe it over some camp you've joined. Take a look around and ask yourself, is God pouring out His wrath today? It's a simple question. If not, then He stopped imputing the world's trespasses at the cross. Game over. Okay, another objection answered, and we've got more to come. Not sure of your salvation? Believe on Christ Jesus and Him alone. He died for every sin you have or will commit. He and your sins went into the tomb, but only He came out. What does that mean? There's nothing you can do about your sins. That's the hamster wheel game taught by religion. All the doing is done. The reason you can't do anything about your non-imputed sins is they're not imputed. He went into the tomb with your sins. He came out of the tomb without them. There's a good news message in that. Don't miss it. Now, if you want something to do, do something about your salvation. Acts chapter 16, verse 30 can help you with that. The jailer, hey, he asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Their answer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Now, there's you something to do. Believe. Believe to be saved, not forgiven. Paul and Silas gave him something to do, and it's right there in plain King James Bible English. Believe in his doing, and without it, you can't be saved. See, limited forgivers have misplaced the do. They have it in front of forgiveness when it's actually in front of salvation. For salvation, you need to do something. For forgiveness, you don't. So if you're here and you're unsure of your salvation today, believe this. Christ died for all your sins, was buried, and has risen. Grace and peace.